Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Why do some people live longer than others? A lot of it is in the genes. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is June 18th, 2013. We're on day two of Newsworthy Clips. Glad to have everybody here today, and also glad to have my panelists back from yesterday, Joanna Wirtz and Steve Marth. Hi, panelists.
Hello.
Hey, welcome, everyone.
Yeah, great to have you back here today. That was a fun topic yesterday, trash talking, right, Steve?
I loved it. I learned some new English.
You did? I don't know if tomorrow will be known as one of our better English lessons, but it was very informative.
You mean yesterday?
Yes, yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. It was very cultural. Yeah. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was interesting. It will help people understand part of the cultural aspect, and particularly sports. NBA is so big here in Asia, so it will help everybody understand a little bit of what's going on the court. So let me get from Joanna maybe a word or a phrase from yesterday that she thought might be helpful for our listeners to know and be familiar with.
Well, yesterday, one interesting word was antiseptic, which is an adjective that described, in that context, it described players being boring, without character. Normally, when I think of antiseptic, I think of something that sterilizes a wound or maybe germs on your hand. I think of it as like alcohol, almost to clean your hands.
Yeah. For instance, when we go into hospitals, maybe they have a dispenser there you can put your hands under to clean the germs off of, and a little liquid sprays out. That would be considered an antiseptic. In that case, it would be a noun.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday we used antiseptic, same spelling, in the form of a adjective. But we're not talking about players yesterday that are cleaning germs, but we're actually talking about players who are what, Steve?
Who are talking trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, the goal is to get your opponent to take his focus off the game, get the competitive advantage. That's the purpose of trash talking. Because sports so often are in as much in your muscles as they are in your mind, right?
Yeah.
Yogi Berra once famously said 95% of baseball is half mental.
Yeah. All right, everybody.
Think about it.
Chew on that one for a while. All right. That was yesterday, trash talking, though. Today, we're moving into a whole different topic. We're talking about our genes, our genetic makeup, and actually how our genetic makeup can actually affect our longevity as far as how long we live. You know, people are always trying to do things to, you know, live longer. Medicine, diet, exercise. There's everything under the sun, special remedies, but actually, it might be something out of our control.
That's right. It might be something we received from our parents through the genes. We have no control over it.
Okay. I think we all can think of examples of where we know people who unfortunately pass away very young, 40, 45, years old from diseases. And yet we also know people who are 90, 95 years old and are still very mobile. So
not only that, but they may smoke every day and drink. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just everyone is so different. There's so many variables in our bodies that determine how long we live and how healthy we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that this article is about a particular gene that makes you live longer. I think they're saying that people with a certain gene, it's a trend. Or I think as we'll read through this article, a group of people who are quite old in their 90s, they noticed a trend in their genetic makeup. Oh, mm-hmm. These very elderly people, many of them have this particular gene.
Right, right. Okay, there's a pattern. There's a pattern to it. It's not a guaranteed. It's not 100%, but there's a pattern that the researchers have found. So why don't we do this? Let's get into our first reading for today. Turn to page 31 in your Advanced magazine, and we'll read that entire left column on page 31 and then go down to line 7 in the right column.
Longer life gene variant found in studies. If you lead an active, extroverted life and are something of a thrill seeker, you might be genetically primed to live into your 90s or longer, according to a new study by a team that included University of California, Irvine, UCI, researchers. A variation of a much-studied gene involved in transmission of dopamine, a key component of the brain's reward and learning system, was found to be far more frequent among the very old. The variant itself might not extend lifespan directly, said Robert Moises, a UCI biological chemistry professor and an author of the study. Instead, it appears to predispose those who bear it to a more vigorous lifestyle. This particular variation has already been associated with personality traits that are much more outgoing, much more socially engaged, Moises said. We think it's as simple as that. Obviously, if you are much more likely to be engaged in physical and intellectual activities as you age, there have been many studies that have shown that is a good predictor of adding a few more years to your life.
Longer life gene variant found in study. Help us out with that title, Joanna.
Well, variant is like, it's a noun, and it's like a difference. So what they're saying in this title is that a gene that has to do with longer life has been found, or a difference in genes that reflects on long life has been found in a study.
Okay. All right. So that's what the scientists have found, something in our genetic makeup that makes the difference in longevity. So how do we start, Steve?
Well, the author starts by saying if you have an active, extroverted life and you like exercising, you seek out thrills, it might not be because of your personality, but maybe it's because of your genes.
Okay, yeah. We see the term genetically primed there in line 7. But I'm going to go back here and cover a couple of terms in this sentence. Now, first, extroverted.
Extroverted is someone who's outgoing, loves to talk to people, loves meeting new people. Now, that's the opposite of introverted. An introverted person is someone who likes to be alone, someone who stays home a lot. So those two words are very, very useful when describing personalities.
Thrill seeker.
Someone who seeks thrills.
Hmm.
Pretty clear. No, it's someone who just likes exciting things. Maybe they like to go bungee jumping, skydiving. They do really exciting things compared to maybe their calmer, more introverted friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like doing the garden or...
Right. You're kind of a thrill seeker.
I love...
I know thrills. You like jumping off cliffs into water.
I do.
You like jumping from high places into water. Waterfalls you jump off of and cliffs up at the ocean.
Bring it.
I don't understand it. I'm like, what's up with this guy?
I might have this gene variant in me.
But you're not extroverted. I read this sentence and I thought, well, Steve is kind of a contradiction of this sentence. He's kind of introverted, but he's a thrill seeker.
You know, you're not the first person to tell me that I'm a contradiction.
Yeah. What's a contradiction? How do we define that?
Well, a contradiction is saying just something that's the opposite of something else. You're contradicting me. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. You're doing it right now.
Two opposite things. Yeah. All right. So Steve's a contradiction. Now, what about you, Joanna? Are you extroverted? Are you a thrill seeker?
Neither. I am not a contradiction. I'm an introverted. I'm introverted, and my idea of thrill seeking is baking a new kind of cupcake. So
okay.
There's that.
All right. Well, I'm kind of I'm extroverted.
You are.
I am kind of a thrill seeker. So maybe I've got the gene.
Maybe you do.
I may have the gene. So I might be genetically primed to live into my 90s or longer. Let me knock on wood. Now, genetically primed. What does that mean, genetically primed?
It means biologically likely to have certain processes or characteristics. That means it's in your genes. Because of your genes, you are likely to be a certain way.
But as you said earlier, it's no guarantee. Even though you have these genes, it's not certain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not certain. It helps, but there's no guarantee with that. And this is all according to a new study by a team that included University of California, Irvine, UCI researchers. So outside of Los Angeles. And we saw a variant up in the title. And now in this first sentence in the next paragraph, we see a variation, Joanna.
Yes, same meaning, a difference in something. A variation of a much-studied gene involved in transmission of dopamine. Let's stop there and try to explain that.
Okay. Transmission.
Transmission is when when something moves from one place to another.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it's dopamine, which is, I think it's some kind of...
It's like a chemical.
A chemical within our brain that normally is released when we feel happy. So laughing, when we are in a good mood, our body actually generates a little bit more of dopamine and we actually release that. And so it's something that's it's a chemical that when we feel good,
okay,
we actually release it when we're excited,
something
but in a positive
like
way.
Adrenaline?
In a way, kind of like adrenaline.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. And dopamine is a key component of the brain's reward and learning system. We're happy. The brain feels good because dopamine is released, and it actually feeds on itself. This dopamine was found to be what? Actually, let me say that the gene related to the dopamine reward, it was found to be what?
More frequent among the very old. It's an interesting finding.
Mm. Okay. So this study at UCI found that... it was very frequent that this gene was found in the very old senior citizens. Now, we see that the variant itself might not expand or extend lifespan, right, Steve?
That's right. It might not, but it does appear to predispose those who bear it to a more vigorous lifestyle. So predispose here means something like genetically primed. Someone who's predisposed is likely to have a more vigorous or extroverted, more thrill-seeking lifestyle.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that comes from Robert Moises, a biological chemistry professor there at the University of California, Irvine. And then in the next paragraph, line 20, he continues.
He says that this particular variation has already been associated with personality traits that are more outgoing and more socially engaged. What that means is more extroverted. So they've already associated this variation with extroversion.
Okay. All right. So he's covering the extroversion part there. And then he continues in line 23.
Yep. He says it's simple as that. Then he goes on to say, obviously, if you are much more likely to be engaged in physical and intellectual activities as you age, then that's a predictor of adding a few more years to your life.
Okay. So we talk about being engaged in physical and intellectual activities. Of course, you want to be getting exercise as you get older. What do we mean by intellectual activities?
Things that make your brain work. How long do you think you'll live if you sit on the couch watching game shows your whole life eating potato chips? Mm. You probably won't live as long as if you're having good conversations with people in person and going outside, getting fresh air, getting some exercise.
Wow. Yeah, that was a better answer than I was going to give. I was just going to say crossword puzzles, Bill.
Well,
that's not as good as Joanna's.
Crossword
answer.
Puzzles help, though. Well, I've heard that.
There's beauty in your simplicity, Steve. So, and there is value in that in certain places and times. So I do appreciate that. I appreciate Joanna's answer.
Yeah.
But yeah, you say crossword puzzles. It might involve all sorts of other mind games and, mind testers that we might have, whether it's in a newspaper or there are plenty of apps that you can get on your smartphone. What I am thinking of is, for instance, with Doris, with Doris Brohm, who gets plenty of exercise. She does her best to get exercise. Here she is, 86 years old. And then Doris is very active, right, as far as her intellectual activities.
All the time. She's going all the time. She's learning new things. And she's actually passing that knowledge on to us many times, isn't she?
Yeah.
Well, to explain maybe the opposite or the contradiction, maybe not sitting on a couch watching TV, but how do you think your life would be if you worked in a factory and your only job was to put part A to part B together? That doesn't make your mind work. And I think when it's that simple, when you don't challenge your mind's part of your health too.
Yeah.
If you let it die down, then your body will not live as long either.
Okay. There have been studies that some of the things that Joanna and Steve are talking about, these activities have shown that it is a good predictor of adding a few more years to your life. Now, one of the other things for everybody to remember is that you don't just all of a sudden start doing this at age 80, right, Steve?
That's right. It's going to happen. You're going to see this start when you're very young. Maybe even as a child, you'll be extroverted, you'll be outgoing, you'll enjoy thrilling activities. So it's going to happen. It's not something that happens overnight.
Yeah, but what about being intellectually active?
Okay, it's the same. It's the same as your body, I think.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is this is stuff we should start doing as young adults, right?
I think if you can adopt some healthy intellectual activities, then that's good for your health in the future as well. The same as adopting healthy physical activities or healthy habits. You can adopt mental healthy habits as well.
Yeah, okay, good exercise habits and good intellectual habits. So so these things start early, and then hopefully you can continue them up until the point where you are, like our boss, 86 years old, the people in the study in their 90s, 95 years old. This is a lifestyle, and it is a lifelong change, and these are lifelong activities that we need to incorporate into our life on a daily basis, not wait until something happens. So how does this all tie together as far as what we choose to do and also our genetic makeup? Well, that's what we talk about in our second reading.
In this study, genetic samples from 310 people 90 years old or older were checked for the gene variant known as the DRD47R allele. 66% more people possessed the gene variant in the 90-plus group when compared with a control group of nearly 3,000 aged 7 to 45. The gene variant is something of a double-edged sword. While it appears to promote long life, it also has been associated with high-risk behavior, drug addiction, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD, Moises said. The discovery of the gene variant's association with longevity might inspire people to become more active as they age, potentially extending their lives, even if they don't harbor the variant themselves, Moises said.
Bill Quinn here with Joanna Wirtz and Steve Marth. We're right in the middle of our newsworthy clips on page 31, our second reading for today, and we're reading about a longer life gene variant found in a research study that was done at the University of California, Irvine. And we were just talking about how physical and intellectual activities are key to helping us age well and live longer. So and let's get back to this study. Now, in this study, Joanna,
genetic samples from 310 people who were 90 years old or older were checked for the gene variant, which is also known as the DRD47R allele. And please remember that name because there will be a test on it later.
Yes, you will be tested on that. In fact, we'll ask the guy who pronounced it in our reading to talk about that.
Well, it's a name with some numbers in it. Okay.
What's an allele? Let's get to that. Don't worry about listeners, don't worry about DRD47R. What is allele and why do we have this?
It's one or two genes that are found in the same position in the chromosome, and so it produces a particular characteristic, such as eye color.
Okay.
But in this case, we're talking about longevity.
Yeah. So in your DNA, you actually have essentially a chain of genes.
Right.
And each one is identified and labeled. So that's what that – that's why those letters and numbers are there, because every one of your genes are labeled and identified. So all right. So 66% of these people, what?
They possess the gene variant in the 90-plus group when compared to the control group of nearly 3,000 people who are aged 7 to 45 years old. The control group is just when you're doing a scientific study, the group that just – there's nothing exciting about them. It's not the group that you're trying to test for a difference. It's just – the group that represents what, the average, would you say?
Well, as far as – now, normally when we say control group, what we're doing is we're trying to narrow down the people in a study to meet a specific set of requirements that we have set up and guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to make sure certain people that are outside those guidelines are not in the group, the 3,000 that we are studying. So, for instance, we might say – in this study that included 3,000 people, the control group, 3,000 people aged 7 to 45, one of the criteria might be, okay, you can't be suffering from any type of like
heart
cancer
disease.
Or heart disease or any specific disease. If the person checked that off on the sheet, then they would be eliminated from the study. That's why we say control group. We control who is in the study.
Yeah. Maybe – they ask the question, does your family have any history of heart disease? And if they mm-hmm. say yes, they can't take part in that group.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Now, let's go back to the 66% of the 310 people. That's a lot.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So
two-thirds.
Many of the old people we see in society as we go out in this world, if they're in their 90s, chances are – they've got this variant.
Well, yeah, there's a good chance they've got it. Now, we want to clarify something here in line 11. It says 66% more. And when I first read this, I thought, oh, that means two-thirds of the people in the study. But not necessarily, right, Joanna?
No, they're comparing it to the whatever percentage of the control group originally had this,
okay.
this variant. Not, and we don't know that number. That's not in the article.
For instance, now, say in this control group, let's put this into an equation. When say 10% of the people in the control group had the variant. Now, what we're saying is then in the other study with the 310 people, if 66% more of them had it, that means 16% would have had the variant. If 10% had it in the original control group of 3,000, and we're saying 66% more, what we're meaning is we're just adding that much to the 10%. So it would be 16% of the people in the super elderly group.
It's been so long since I've done any
yeah.
math.
Bill, your math is good.
Well, I like math.
I think the main point, though, to reiterate, is that the number is a lot higher.
Significantly.
Very significant.
Significantly higher.
Yeah.
So, and I have to thank Joanna for pointing that out to me about this 66% more thing. So, anyway, the gene variant is something of what, Steve?
It's a double-edged sword, as so many things in life are.
Mm.
If you have something, a good quality, there's probably not so good quality attached to that thing, which is true here.
Okay.
If you have this gene that allows you to live longer. It's also been associated with high-risk behavior, not good, drug addiction, not good, and ADHD, also not good.
Pros and cons, good and bad, double-edged sword. First off, high-risk behavior.
High-risk behavior like jumping off cliffs, perhaps. There's a chance
yeah.
you might die, you know, and that will, you know, cut your life short.
Well, there's stuff that, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
I think of taking chances, maybe driving fast.
There, I thought of that. For instance, it seems like I always see the same people in my neighborhood driving their motorcycles like crazy, and that is high-risk behavior, whether they realize it or not. Or there might be people, you know, crossing the street where they shouldn't be crossing the street on a regular basis. These are like daily things, but are actually high-risk behaviors that most people don't do. So we need to be careful with that stuff. But the people with this gene variant might be doing it thinking, oh, it's okay for me to drive twice as fast as everybody else. I can handle it. Drug addiction, of course, we would know what that might be. Also, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Now, this is something really kind of out of the control of the person.
Yeah, this is something that I think people tend to be born with, right?
Yeah.
It's a personality disorder, as it says. And
it's going to be based a lot on the chemicals also within them. And, of course, we've got, you know, in the past 5 or 10 years, Ritalin, the drug, has come along to treat that with people with ADHD. Now, in the last paragraph, we learn about the discovery of the genes, the gene variants association.
Well, when more people discover that the variant association with longevity or living long, when they find that out, it might inspire them to become more active as they age, which can help people even who don't have the gene.
Okay. That brings us back to what I had talked about earlier in the program, that how does this tie in with our behavioral choices as far as increasing our physical and intellectual activities? You may not have this gene variant, but the results of this study can influence your choices.
That's right. Healthy choices, both with the mind and the body, to exercise them starting at an early age, doing it on a regular basis.
Okay. And you can do that. You can work at increasing your longevity, even if you don't harbor the variant yourself. Moises said, harbor.
Harbor just means to have. It's a more complicated word to just say you have it, you're holding it. If you think of maybe an ocean harbor, that's where the ships stay.
Yeah.
It's quiet, calm. That's where the ships are parked.
Yeah. That's where the ships come in and they stay. In some ways, we use that to say you harbor something. You're holding on to something. So, all right. Well, whether you have the DRD47R allele or not, don't let that make a difference. What you can do is make a difference, make the right choices. Right, Steve?
That's right. Make the right choices with your mind, with your body. Start early.
Be active. And I think being intellectually active is one thing you can do is keep listening and to advance, keep reading advance. So thanks for being here today. Come on back tomorrow and you might live longer. We'll see you. Goodbye.